Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
So we're glad that you're here today. We are continuing our study on family values. We've started this series because our families are confused about what's right and wrong, because we have found ourselves in a moral malaise, if you will. We are in a moral and a spiritual crisis. We are confused about morality. We're confused about values. We're confused about ethics. We don't know what's right. We don't know what's wrong anymore. One group of people tells us this right, this is right. Another group of people tells us the other thing is right. You need to know what's right and what's wrong. And so we're studying this for that very reason. In fact, I found an interesting article this past week, and I like this part right here. It says, we are living in a time when God is being humanized, genders are being neutralized, marriage is being ostracized, children are being victimized, families being trivialized, fathers are being demonized, mothers are being marginalized, roles are being disenfranchised, and God's order is being vandalized. Wow. Somebody had to really think that through before they wrote that. I really can't disagree with anything that they said there. But here's what happens. Whenever we have lost our way, lose our way, concerning what's right and what's wrong, then we are in danger of losing our soul. And whenever we are in danger of losing our soul, it's the church's job to call its people back to God's ways, right? So there's a couple things that we can do in the middle of the insanity we see around us. There's two things at the very least we can do. One is, we can pray. We can pray for the time that we live in, right? We're going to close in prayer later on, and I just see Fabiana here talking, mentioned to me about upcoming elections in Brazil this week. We want to pray for Brazil. We have our own upcoming elections, and, you know, coming up in a couple days as well. We want to pray for this country as well. And so what can we do? We can pray. We can pray for us to return to God's value system, right? And then the other thing we could do is that we can return to the values that God laid out for us 3,500 years ago in what we know as today as the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, even though they're old, they're not outdated, right? They're still relevant for us today. And the reason they're relevant for us today is because unlike man's laws that change, God's laws never change, right? We can trust what God says. We can trust God's word. We can trust what he says to be true. We can trust what God's word says to never change. So if it was wrong 3,500 years ago, then listen, there's a pretty good chance it's wrong today. Right? And so we adhere to God's rules because God's rules don't change. Now these values that we're talking about, these Ten Commandments, these ten values that we're talking about, they really tell us what's important to God, right? If you want to worship God correctly, you have to find out what he wants and the way that he wants to be worshiped. And one of the things that we garner from the commandments and the law, one of the things that we extrapolate from God giving those commandments is that God says, I'm giving you these as a way to worship me. You must not invent ways to worship me. You must not go outside the prescribed boundary lines of what I'm telling you. And see, true worship always goes back to that. True worship is always about doing what God wants, rather than doing what we want, right? Now, I always want to try to throw in a disclaimer here, and here's the disclaimer. The disclaimer is that we're teaching these because these, we believe, strengthen the church and strengthen society and strengthen family. But these commandments, okay, they will never save us. Now, they tell us what's important to God, but salvation doesn't come by keeping the commandments. Salvation comes by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. It's a gift of God, the Bible makes clear, right? It's not by your works. You can be, man, you could be one of the very best in the world at keeping the Ten Commandments, which you're probably not. But you'll still fall short. And the reason you fall short, because the Bible says very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Look at the person next to you, say, he's talking about you. Yeah, there's none of us that are righteous, right? There's none of us that are righteous, and for that reason, we need a Savior. That's why we needed Jesus to die on the cross. If keeping the commandments can result in you saving yourself, then Jesus died in vain, when you think about it, right? So they do not save us, but what they do is that they strengthen your family, and they will strengthen society. Today, we're going to look at a commandment that deals with honoring our parents. Now, remember, God gave us this fifth command for our own good. If you're sitting next to a teenager, say, you picked a good day to be here. The commandments, in fact, you could say that that's true of all the commands. All of God's laws, all of God's commands, they're all righteous, they're all good, and they're all for our own good. So whenever you see in the Bible a prohibition, whenever God says don't, that don't, okay, that don't always equals something positive. Because God gives us the commands not to hurt us, but to help us. Right? So when you tell your child, don't touch the stove, that's a good thing. He might get all bent out of shape because you've given him a prohibition. Oh, man, I want to do whatever I want. Well, go ahead and touch the stove, see what happens. They're doing it for your own good, right? And so now we deal with the command today. The command is a transitional command. And what I mean by transitional is it's going to introduce us to another series of commands that now begin how to deal with one another. If you remember, historically, the commandments came in two tablets, right? The first tablet was concerned with the commandments that deal with how do we relate to God. How do we relate to God? How do we respect God? Because the commandments can be summed up in respect. Respect God, respect your fellow man. And the commandment is, you should have no other gods before me. Okay, you should not be an idolater. You should not take God's name in vain. All those commands deal with how God wants us to deal with him, how God wants us to relate with him. But up until now, we have not talked about how do we relate to one another. And so now, here's the commandment that bridges the gap between that, right? And in fact, they asked Jesus once, they said, Lord, which is the greatest command? And you know, he summarized it with these two ideas that I just gave you. He summarized it, they asked him in Matthew 22, and he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But now check out what he says, because he doesn't just answer it saying there's only one greatest commandment. He says, the second is equally important. Now, when something is equal to, that means it's the same as. So the most important command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second command is equal to that. Equal to that. And he says, you love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, the entire law and the demands of all the prophets are based on these two commandments. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying exactly what we're talking about here. He's saying that all these commands deal with how do we relate to God, respect one another. Now, the respect for one another always begins in the home. Okay. It always begins in how you treat your family. Your brother, your sister, okay, your grandparents, but even more specifically, if you go right directly to this command, how you treat mom and dad. Because think about it. What value is it in treating strangers and people that you hardly know with love and respect, but yet you don't do the same with your family? I mean, you might know people that do that. Don't look around and expose them, please. Okay, but you know, you would think that's kind of disgraceful. You would think it's disgraceful to treat someone that I hardly know better than the way I treat my mom or my dad. And you know what? Not only is it disgraceful, Paul agreed with it, because Paul said, if you can't take care of your own house, if you can't treat the people in your own household, okay, with respect, then you have denied your faith and you are worse than a pagan. Let me give you a reference for that. You might have it in your notes. 1 Timothy 5:8, in case you're questioning my biblical reference, right? So honoring the father and mother is really the basis for family unity. And family unity, if you look at it and you think about this in the context of when it was given and who it was given to the Jewish nation, okay, you realize that one of the hallmarks of Jewish life has always been family unity. Right? But family unity begins with respect, and respect specifically, okay, towards our parents. Our parents, according to this command, okay, our parents are to be revered, they're to be respected, and they're to be protected. And God says, when you do that, look at the reward. The reward is going to be long life. Long life. Did we read the scripture already? It says, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long life. Full life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. What do you mean by long life? What you mean by long life is that the respect for our parents is going to translate into creating a stable society that will prosper. And so God says, honor mom and dad, and things in your society will be a lot more stable. And when things are more stable, and when things are more prosperous, okay, you're going to live longer. Think about two different cultures, two different societies, a poor culture and a wealthy culture. The wealthy culture lives longer, they prosper. Why? Because they have the means. They have money for medicine, they have money for food, they have money to take care of themselves, versus a culture or a society where there's poverty. In that poverty, they don't have money for medical expenses, they don't have finances to eat the best of foods, et cetera, et cetera. And so what happens? One lives longer. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you want to live longer, it begins with respect for your parents. That's going to translate into the prosperity of your society. That's going to introduce stability in your society. So now, why did God give us this command? We know right off the bat that none of our parents are perfect. Right? None of our parents are perfect. And in fact, and we're going to talk about this towards the end, but there are some parents that you and I might think they're not worthy of honor. But here, we're not talking about if they're worthy or not. Okay? I realize there's some parents here, represented here. You might have been one, or maybe you experienced this. You experienced abuse and neglect, maybe abandonment. Okay, you experienced manipulation and control at the hands of parents that either didn't know better or were just plain evil. I realize that may be the case with some of us, but I need you to understand something. Okay, God doesn't say you're supposed to pretend like this never happened. But here's what God is saying. God is saying, I want you to honor your parents, but I want you to honor the position of parenthood more, okay, than the person that was your parent. Does that make sense? We're going to explain that in a bit, because respect for authority begins in the home. Right? God says, you honor your parents. He said that before he said, don't murder. Before he said, don't commit adultery. Before he said, don't lie or don't covet. Before God gave us these commands, God says, okay, you need to respect. Respect your authority within your own home. And the reason is simple. If you don't respect your parents, okay, you will not respect the others around you. Now, in our lives, you know, in the society where we live, there are about four, maybe five different institutions that have authority over us. Okay, first is a family. Okay, the second is a church. The third is, you know, maybe your school. or your job, okay? That may be third and fourth, and the fifth would be government. These, all of these exercise certain amount of authority. All of them play a different role in our lives. And as we submit to each one of these areas of authority over our lives, you know what happens? It creates for us an orderly society. Because think of what happens when you rebel. When you rebel against one or more of these, what happens? You begin to create chaos and anarchy within that society. It's the act of rebellion that creates that type of anarchy, right? So God wants us to honor our parents, because as we honor our parents, we learn to submit to the authorities, other authorities that God has given us. So here's what God says. I want you to honor the position of parenthood, the position. Regardless of the personality behind it. This is a critical lesson that every child needs to learn this lesson, right? Because it determines, when the child learns this, it determines how well they're going to do in school, how well they're going to do in their career, how well they're going to do in their relationships. The child that grows up saying, nobody tells me what to do, listen, that child will never hold a job. Right? Because there are many times when you have to do what somebody else tells you to do, whether you like it or not. Right? And so God uses this because he wants us to learn to respect authority. Look at the person and say, you got to respect authority. So you get a ticket for speeding in a school zone. And it's time to stand before the judge. And you go to plead your case before the judge. How do you address that guy? Hey, mister. Yo, dude, I'm not guilty. No. You don't address him that way. How do you address him? Your honor. You address him, what? With honor and respect. You're not making a character judgment about him. Listen, the guy may be an idiot. The guy may be evil. The guy may be a real jerk. But you're not making a character judgment. What are you doing? You're honoring his position. You're showing respect for the position. And that's something that I think is entailed by this command. God says, I want you to honor the position that your parents hold. Okay? And I want you to respect them in the same way that you would respect the judge that you stand before. Right? Now, each generation is entrusted to pass down the value of honor. In fact, you could think about it. The Jewish nation did very well in embracing and maintaining family unity. Where did it all begin? It all began with the Ten Commandments. With that command to honor their father and their mother. And through each subsequent generation, they kept passing down that tradition. And so what does that mean? That means that honor is something that we transfer to our kids. When we want our kids to honor us, they need to see us honoring our parents. I read the story about a family that just recently brought their elderly father to live with them. It was a husband, a wife, and a child of six. And the elderly father had several medical conditions, and they bring him to the table to eat, but he would just make a mess. He was shaking. He couldn't hardly see. He'd get food all over himself. He'd get all dirty. He'd spill, whatever drink they gave out. And then after a while, it got kind of frustrating. You know, we've got to do something. We've got to do something with Grandpa. So they come up with the idea. We're going to do. They were so upset. And of course, I'm making it, a little more acceptable than it was, but there were some tough words, and they disrespected Grandpa, and they called him names, and they got, their temper flared, and they got angry with him, and so finally they decided to take action. What they're going to do, so what we're going to do is we're going to eat ourselves, us three, we're going to sit together, and we're going to put Grandpa off to a corner, like on his own special chair, okay, and we're going to give him a little wooden bowl, and so that way he can't break anything, he can't knock anything down, and he could just, take care of himself. And so they separated Grandpa from the rest of the family. from the other, you know, from the child and the wife. And then weeks passed. Everything was fine. This new system seemed to be working for them. And the father notices the son, the six-year-old, playing with a set of these popsicle sticks, wooden popsicle sticks. You know, you do that to design all kinds of things. And the dad was kind of inquisitive, as you know, it looked like the kid was building a house and gluing things together. Asked him, "What are you building?" He says, "I'm building a bowl for you and for mom." "I am building a bowl for you and mom, so when you guys get old, you can eat out of this bowl. We'll put you in the corner too." Yikes. At that moment, that dad was so impacted. He said, "Immediately I recognized, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but at that moment, those words affected me, impacted me, that immediately they brought grandpa back in to the rest of the family, okay? And for the rest of his days, he ate every meal with them." The way things should be. Right, the way things should be. And so honor is transferred, and honor is something that we do regardless of our parents' honorableness. Notice that the command doesn't give any qualifiers. It doesn't say honor your parents if they're deserving. It doesn't say honor your parents if they're good to you. Honor your parents if they buy you a car. Honor your parents if they pay for your college. Honor your parents if they give you lots of things. Honor your parents if they're nice. Honor your parents if they meet up to your expectations. It doesn't say any of that. Just says honor your parents, period. That's it, right? So honoring our parents, we have to conclude the many reasons why God would say that. And one of the reasons that we would say that is a way when we honor them, in a way what we're doing is we're repaying them for the care they gave us as they raised us. Right? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how is it then that I could honor and respect my parents, right? And because the way you honor your parents, we're going to look at it from three different angles, because the way that you honor your parents is different depending on what stage of life you are. We're going to look at it three different ways. So, for instance, a child, you would never expect a child to honor their parents in the same way that an adult honors their parents. Right? And the Bible Bible delineates about three separate ages, refers to three types of, you know, three groups of people within a population. Children, and young people, and adults. Okay, fathers. So we're going to look at it that way. We're going to look at what is the responsibility in each respective age class. And the first one, of course, are children. How do children honor their parents? Children honor their parents through simple obedience. You're not going to pay for the medical expenses. You're not going to help mom and dad, with all the things that adult children do. But here's what God asks of you in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. So in other words, what God's word says is that I have to listen to what they say. Why? Because I am still under their authority. I still live under their roof. Right, I'm still being raised by them, and so as long as I'm being raised by them, as long as I'm living under their roof and benefiting from what they're supplying for me, then I have an obligation what to do, what to obey them, because since you're dependent on them for food and for clothing and for your medical expenses and for shelter and for a bed and for insurance and to take you to school and back and to buy books for you and so forth and to give you all of the things that you like and or even need, okay, need or even like, okay, that means because they supply so many things for you, they have the right to call the shots in your life. Amen. You missed a good part for an amen. Now, when you go out on your own, things will change, right? When you go out on your own, hopefully you're not going back to dad and say, "Dad, can you lend me $100? Okay, when you're out on your own, you're out on your own, right? You're out on your own. And what that basically means is that your role is going to change. But as long as they're providing for you, okay, you're dependent upon them. And the Bible says you are to obey them. So the chief responsibility of a child, the way a child honors their parents, okay, is through obedience. And understand this, that when you disobey mom and dad, you in essence are disobeying God who gave them to you as your authority figure. When you rebel against them, you're rebelling against God, Right? And God takes rebellion against parents, rebellion against him very seriously. In fact, let me give you another little glimpse of something that was said, you know, at the same time as the Ten Commandments, but it was elaborated a little more. Here's what God says in Exodus 21, verse 15. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Capital punishment. It was a capital offense, what? To strike mom and dad. God is saying, we're not going to start that in this society. If we allow striking of parents, then all of a sudden, all sense of order is gone. All we have is anarchy and chaos. You can't let that start in your neighborhood. Put an end to it quick. And he says something else two verses later. Exodus 21, verse 17, it says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. That's some pretty serious stuff. What is it communicating to us? It's communicating to us the importance of honoring our parents, right? The importance of respecting our parents. So as children, our main responsibility is to obey our parents. And all the kids under 13 said amen. Amen. We got one up here. Okay, very good. Now the next one, 13 and up. Let's deal with the 13 and up. And I hate to put a number on it because, you know, it probably there's an overlap. But as young people, how do we honor our parents as young people? As young people, we honor our parents in two ways. Okay, one is accepting and two is respecting. Accepting and respecting. The older you get, the more you begin to see mom and dad's flaws. The more you begin to see their weaknesses, right? It's important for you to accept them, okay, in spite of their weaknesses. Now, acceptance doesn't mean that you pretend that they're perfect, okay? It doesn't mean that you agree with what they did, okay? Or whatever they asked you to do. It doesn't mean you agree with it. Here's what acceptance means, and I think you might have some of these in your notes. Acceptance means that you realize that God used them to bring you into the world. Your parents gave you something that no other parent can give you. Life. Right? They gave you life. Right? And so you appreciate the fact that God used them to bring you into the world. Acceptance also means that you realize that God is still using them to provide for you. Right? Maybe in a limited way, because as you grow older, you get a little more independent and you have a job, and now you could buy your own tennis shoes. You could buy your own, pay for your own cell phone, and et cetera, et cetera. But maybe, but they're still supplying for your needs. You're still living under their roof. If you're living under their roof, you owe them the courtesy of honor and respect. And in this case, acceptance means I realize, man, they're still dishing it out for me. They're still taking care of me. Okay, here's the other way that you show them acceptance. You show acceptance by listening to their direction and their advice. You know why? Because you may be smarter when it comes to education, but they're smarter than you are when it comes to experience. There may come a time when you graduate, right? You may graduate from high school and you may be the valedictorian and you may graduate, you know, from college as an honor student, and you may have a lot more book knowledge than they have, but they've been around the block a couple more times than you. Oh, we got one happy person over here. All right. Praise the Lord. And that's true. And that's absolutely true. So acceptance means that I'm going to listen to them. Why? Because they probably got experience in this. I don't think they have experience, but they probably do. Ask them. Right? And so you learn. Listen, anybody that learns from someone else's experience is considered wise. Don't be so dense that you got to learn through your own school of hard knocks. No doubt you're going to learn that way, hopefully. But listen, have enough wisdom that you learn from other people's mistakes, particularly your parents. Your parents have a lot of knowledge, right? Now, when you're on your own, you're not bound by their advice. But just because you're not bound by their advice, it doesn't mean you despise their advice. Because there may be some real gems of truth there, right? Here's what it says in Proverbs 23. It says, listen to your father who gave you your life and do not despise your mother, especially if your parents are God-fearing people, in other words, they want to please the Lord. They live their lives for the Lord. As they make steps to grow in their faith, okay, the counsel that they give you can be invaluable because it's not just counsel from their experience. Now it's counsel that's mixed in with what they know to be right and what they know to be wrong. And so they're going to steer you in the right direction more often than not. In fact, it's safe to say that the most parents give their kids advice not for their own personal good, but for the benefit of their own child. Right? So when you advise your kids, how many times, parents, haven't you told your kids, hey, I'm telling you this for your own good. I don't benefit from your decision. How many of your friends can you say that about? How many people can you say that about? It seems like nowadays everybody has an agenda. But you know what? More often than not, the people that don't have an agenda, that really are looking out for your best interests, are mom and dad. Right? So think about this, because it's important that we accept. And here's another way that you accept. Another way that you accept is that you forgive. Family unity is built on respect, and respect is built on forgiveness, because we all will offend one another. Right? Don't do what pop culture does. Pop culture, okay, blames their parents for everything. All my problems, mom and dad. The reason I am like this, I'm dysfunctional and I'm a low achieving and I drop out of school, is because when I was 5, my dad took away my Game Boy. And that's why I'm so distorted and so weird. Listen, there are people that have been through worse conditions than you that still have succeeded. So don't use that as an excuse. Don't let that bitterness, okay, be used to destroy yourself. It always is going to hurt you. Whatever your mom and dad did to you, understand that they're still doing it to you as long as you permit it. They're still controlling you as long as you're still angry and livid over what they did. That means that today, if you're still resentful, today, if you're still bitter over what happened in the past, you're still allowing them to control your life. And they may be 2,000 miles away, and you may not have talked to them for 3 months. Right? So take responsibility for your own actions. Acceptance means forgiveness. Here's the other way that you as a teen, you as a young person, can honor your mom and dad. You honor them by respecting. Respecting means that you esteem them, or you raise their value, right? And that means that you give them due respect. That means that you show. How do you show them respect? You support them. You help them. If you are in a home with a single mom, and that single mom is working 2 or 3 jobs, or rather a regular home. Maybe sometimes in regular homes, sometimes both parents have to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet. If you're in a house, listen, and mom and dad are you know, working 2 jobs just to eke out a living, just to be able to maintain the mortgage and to maintain your quality of life, and all you do is spend 5 hours playing video games, there's something wrong with that. Help them out. Clean your bathroom. Pick up after yourself. Prepare dinner. Now listen, I'm not saying, well, maybe don't prepare dinner. It depends on what age you are and what you could actually cook. Okay, but mac and cheese every day. Okay, no way, beanie weenies. But you know what I mean? Listen, I'm not saying don't enjoy your childhood. I'm not saying don't play video games. But listen, there's something wrong. Well, you come home, you did your homework, and you got 5 or 6 hours of free time every day. And all you're doing, and then mom and dad are coming in dead tired at 7 or 8 at night. Now to put it on them to wash the clothes and to do the dishes and to prepare dinner. Listen, there's some kind of a lack of communication going on there. So what are we talking about? Honoring mom and dad, respecting. How do you respect what mom and dad do for you? Okay, you support them, you help them. Here's another way. Watch your mouth. Tone. Watch your tone. How many times have you told your kids, hey, when they start raising their voice, bring it down. Bring it down, or I'll bring it down for you. Watch your tone. Because as you raise your tone, when you're getting agitated and you're raising your tone, they interpret that as disrespectful. Listen, there can't be disrespect in this home. If all of a sudden there's disrespect allowed in this home, then we have anarchy in our own family. So you got to watch your tone. What are we talking about? Ways that you respect mom and dad. Here's another way. Don't be ashamed of them. Ooh. Don't be ashamed of them. When your friends come over or people all of a sudden are around you and your parents are nearby, listen, be proud of who they are. Introduce them. Mom and dad, these are my friends. Don't walk away like, let me go talk. I don't want you to see who my mom and dad are. When they take you out to some kind of, you know, family activity, don't walk like 30 feet in front of them or 30 feet behind them because you don't want to be associated with them. Listen, don't be ashamed of them. What does this do? This communicates respect. Now, I know sometimes we go through a phase like it's just not cool to be seen. Mom, you don't understand. I'm trying to be independent here. I'm trying to impress Sally, and I don't want her to see me holding your hand. Okay. I understand some of that takes place, but listen, don't be embarrassed by your mom or your dad. Don't be ashamed of them. Okay. Respect means that you don't resent who they are. And do they have quirks? Of course. Okay, do they have issues? Yeah. Do they have idiosyncrasies? Yeah, that too. Do they have complexes and baggage? Yeah. But so does every other parent that I know. Right? And so listen, they may not have given you all that you wanted when compared to some other peers, but don't judge them on that. So you accept and you respect. Here's the third group, adults. As adults, we honor our parents in a couple of ways. There's a couple of ways we could do it. I just narrowed it down to two ways. One is appreciating, and the other way is caring. Think about what happens when you get older. When you get older, your sense of being appreciated dramatically diminishes, right? So as parents, the older you get, the less respect you get, okay? Some of your friends... Some of their friends start to die. Some of their siblings begin to die. Some maybe grandma, grandpa die. In their job, they're not as sought out in the marketplace on the task force anymore. Okay, they're not that valuable. Oh, we can't have you in this kind of position. You can go down to the mailroom, or go serve, or go clean floors, or do something. And so. What happens is as grown children get busy, you know, raising their own families, our parents begin to live lonelier lives because they're no longer viewed as that important. And so their sense of being appreciated begins to diminish. And not only that, but what happens is that our parents, not only their sense of appreciation is diminished, but we start taking them for granted. Now, some of you had great parents. And you had great parents, and man, you really appreciate them. And some of you had, like, so-so parents. And so it's a little more difficult. But here's what appreciation means. Because it applies to all types of parents. Appreciation means that you appreciate their effort. If you were raised by a single mom and she had to work three jobs, then of course, okay, your interaction with her is going to be limited. Understand that. Appreciate her effort. Appreciate that she may not be able to sit with you, okay, for 3 hours a day and fill you in on maybe what another couple, you know, an intact family may be able to do. Does that make sense? So you appreciate their effort. Listen, parenting is difficult. And all the parents said amen. Kids don't come with instruction manuals. Okay, this is not something like how you do it. You kind of, it's kind of like on-the-job training. And if you work for a company, you know, everybody hates on-the-job training. Right? So it's a job that demands energy. It's a draining job. Think about this. Have you ever thought how much easier your parents' life would be if they hadn't had you? Oh, so now we're putting things in a different perspective, aren't we? Right. Think about it. When was the last time? I mean, things would have been easier, right? I would think, okay, but listen, when was the last time you thanked your parents for just putting up with you? Mom, I know I was difficult. Mom, I know I went through my rough patch. Listen, who else will put up with you? You've lost 5 girlfriends because they don't want to put up with you. Right? They believed in you when everybody else gave up on you. Who else would do that? What are we talking about? We're talking about appreciating their effort. Oh, man, it's a little quiet in here. Am I connecting with you guys? I mean, yeah, you know. So you appreciate. Here's what else you appreciate. You appreciate their sacrifice. See, parenting is not just something that requires effort. It requires sacrifice. They had to, in a way, put their life on hold. They wanted to have you. Most of them did. Some of you were an accident. Not before God, but before them, maybe. Okay, But listen, it requires sacrifice. Do you realize that parenting is expensive? Economics, listen, this is from a report in visualeconomics.com, a USDA report. And they were saying that a government study reveals that middle-income families, and they raised it for inflation, middle-income, will spend about $300,000 to raise a child up to the age of 17. This is not including college. Think about how much money mom and dad would have. They'd be driving that Lamborghini you like. Right? So when a couple, now I know I'm sounding very natural, very naturalistic, but listen, sometimes you got to look at things from a perspective to kind of give you the proper way of viewing things. See, when a couple chooses to have a baby or have kids, they're choosing to go without for the sake of that baby. And so what happens? You should appreciate that sacrifice, right? Somebody said that a father is someone who carries pictures of their family where they once used to have money. I think that's true. Okay. So you honor your parents, and here's how you honor them. You honor them not by trying to pay them back. Mom and dad, I know, man, I have a real expensive debt. I owe you $300,000. No. I'm sure parents will do it all over again. Okay, but here's what they want. Appreciation. Appreciate that what I've done every now and then, maybe not every day, but every now and then, just say thank you, mom and dad. Okay, and so you appreciate, you know. And here's what you do: is you choose to focus on what they did right. Yeah, they did a lot of things wrong, but they also did a lot of things right. And so, how do you honor them? By focusing on what they did right, not what they did wrong. Don't get stuck on what they did wrong. Why? Because when you become a parent, you will do things wrong too. And you're going to appreciate the grace, and you're going to appreciate the mercy that they, you know, that they extend to you. Okay, and so you honor your parents. Here's what it says in Proverbs 23. It says, "When your mother is old, show her appreciation." I don't know. Does that mean just old moms get appreciated and young moms don't? I would think all moms. I think it applies to all moms. So here are two practical ways that you could appreciate mom and dad. Okay, number one, stay in touch with them. As they age and their sense of value diminishes and they begin to wonder, you know, what's left for them to do, and they start getting lonelier, it's important that you stay in contact with them. Every time you call them, you're obeying this command. You're honoring your mom and your dad, right? And so listen, I'm telling you, do that soon. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait till next, you know, 6 months from now. Do that right away. Appreciate them today. Because, like, you don't know how long they're going to be around. You know, listen, all the flowers in the world at your mom and dad's funeral is not going to do them a bit of good. The flowers you buy for them are for your benefit, not for their benefit. Right? So do something for them now. Give them a call. Tell them you appreciate them. Here's the other thing. Listen to their counsel. In fact, a great way that you show that you appreciate them is seek out their counsel. You know, mom and dad, some moms, some dads, they're just going to give you the counsel whether you ask for it or not. It's my right as a parent to tell you what I think, whether you ask for it or not. But listen, it sure is nice when kids come around and they actually ask you for wisdom on some things. Right? That would be nice. So listen to their counsel, ask for their counsel. And you know who this means? This also means the dreaded in-laws. In-laws are people too. Right? And listen, and they will suffer from the same things that your parents suffer from the loneliness. And so you ask them as well, and you listen to them. And, you know, think about it. Some of the greatest advice Moses got was from his father-in-law, Jethro. Some of the greatest advice that Ruth got was from listening to her mother-in-law, in-laws. Now, how many of you guys are single here today? Raise your hand if you're single. 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 Single, raise your hand. Come on. Come on, raise your hand. Okay. All right. If you want to know, hey, this is good information. I'm throwing this in for free. If you want an idea of how your boyfriend or your girlfriend in the future or now are going to treat you when you guys get married, then observe how they treat their parents right now. Some of you are saying, oh man, he just blew my bubble. He has just crushed me. Okay. So that's just a good tip. Now here's the other way, is that not only do we appreciate them, but we also, in those two ways, but we also care for them. And what does it mean by caring for them? Here's what it means. It means that it's not the job of the government to care for our parents. Oh, did I get you with that one? Are you still thinking about that? Okay. When your parents and grandparents become too old, it's not the government's job to take care of them. In fact, the Bible says that you're worse than a pagan if you don't take care of your own family. It's not the government's job, right? And the Hebrew word, now check this out, because the Hebrew word for honor, where it says honor your mother and your father, that Hebrew word comes from the same word where we read in Proverbs, and Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your wealth, Proverbs 3:9. So the word honor has to do with ascribing value. In fact, the word honor communicated, it's a financial term. Honor was a financial term, and what it did is it was the idea of ascribing or connecting value to the thing that you were describing or honoring, right? So when the Bible says honor the Lord with your wealth, how do we honor the Lord with our wealth? By giving to him, right? We honor the Lord with our wealth by giving to him. So how do we honor our parents? Same way. It's the same word. We honor them, okay, by giving to them. And this is the reason why Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had this religious notion that if people would see me give to this religious effort, to an addition to the temple. And here's what they did. In giving to the addition of the temple, what they did is they neglected the care of their mom and the dad. And when mom and dad needed money, they would say, sorry, mom and dad, I promised it to the temple. The portion that should have gone for the support of mom and dad in their elderly years went somewhere else. And Jesus says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Because you're doing it just for your own purpose. And you are what? You're going against the very spirit of the command, of the initial command. In fact, think about it this way. When Jesus was on the cross, what was he so concerned about? Not just the salvation of mankind, but there's a little thing that was hidden in there that you don't often see. He looked at his mom that was there at the foot of the cross, and he looked at his disciple, and he said to his mother and his disciple, John, he said, John, look at your mom. Mom, look at your son. What was he doing? He was transferring the responsibility of the care for his mom to his friend John while he was dying. That's how important the honoring of mom and dad was. That at the very final moments of his life, he made sure, I had to make sure that I'm taking care of mom and dad, right? And so when we talk about caring for them, we have to talk about giving to them. And think about it. It's the cycle of family. When you were younger, you couldn't fend for yourself. They had to do everything for you. there's going to come a time when those roles are reversed. They may not be able to do much for them. Maybe you'll have enough money that you can hire a nurse to do some of the things, and you could, you know, have, you know, someone to come and wash the clothes and clean the house. Praise the Lord if you can do that. I'm not saying not to do that. But what I am saying is at the end of it all, you're responsible. I'm responsible. We got to take care of our own parents, and that's part of how what happens when we get older, our roles reverse. Right? Some of you are already facing this situation. What does God say? Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Now, let me just finish with this part. How do we honor parents that were not honorable? Because I realize that, you know, in a group this size, there may be, you know, a percentage of people that, you know, you had fathers that might have abandoned you, that maybe there were parents that were alcoholics. You had mom and dads that were maybe absent from your life. Maybe you had situations where there was physically abusive, or maybe there was molestation. You never know. And no doubt that kind of stuff happens all the time. It's easy to honor mom and dad when they're good people. Right? But some parents here, some of you here were hurt by some parents, and you were hurt very deeply, and your life was devastated because of it. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with issues of abandonment and rejection and you know, someone coming to you and telling you you're worthless and don't bother doing this, and somebody that was so manipulative and controlling? What does God expect of me? What does God expect of me? Here's a couple of things, and I'll go through these real fast, and you have them there in your notes, and you could ask the Lord to give you insight. But here's the first thing I want you to do. Don't gloss it over. Don't pretend like it never happened. Okay? He's not asking you to make excuses for them. He's not asking you to justify them or repress it. Or, you know, oh no, it was because of the alcoholism. Oh no, it was a drug addiction. Oh no, he had. Don't make excuses. Okay, don't fake it. But here's what he wants you to do. Here's a couple of things that'll help you face the issue. Rather than make excuses for them, ask the Lord. Lord, give me discernment. Where there are some parents, guys, that are evil. Can we be clear about that? You hear it on the news all the time. There are some parents that are just plain evil. Okay? And there are some parents that just didn't know better. You know, some parents are, you know, I was just talking to a lady earlier. She got divorced because she married, at 18 years of age, she married to get away from her abusive father. She didn't know how to maintain a home. And so invariably, she had a great husband, but I didn't know how to maintain a home. And so we broke up. We split apart. So what I say by this, by face the issue, is try to discern where are your parents? Where are they spiritually? Where are they as people? Okay? And understand that if you're still angry with them years later, they're still controlling you. So deal with the issue. Here's the second thing you could do. Seek for peace. And when possible, reconciliation. See, what does that mean? That means that in some circumstances, reconciliation is not possible. Maybe they passed on. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe, you know, maybe the abuse was of a nature where there is a restraining order. And so some cases, it's just not possible or advisable. Here's where you have to pray about it, right? But here's what you should do. You should seek peace. You should never go to bed with this anger, animosity, and hostility, you know, towards someone. No matter what they've done to you, you have to be cleared of that. You have to be freed of that, right? So if there are wrongs that you did, you make it right. And if there are wrongs that they did to you, even if they don't make it right, okay, I'm still going to seek peace. I did my part. Now, going along the lines of making things right, here's the next thing that you do. You forgive without accusing. What is forgiveness without accusing? Forgiveness is saying, I forgive you. But not even saying it to them as a parent. It's you actually doing it without saying, I'm forgiving you, but, you know, you were at fault. No accusation. Okay? Ask forgiveness. When you mess up, ask for forgiveness. Mom and dad, listen to me. When you mess up with your kids, man up, woman up. Ask for forgiveness when you blow it. You're not showing weakness. You're showing character. Right? And so what does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness means that I extend them mercy. I extend them mercy. No one here is perfect. We've all broken God's commands multiple times. right? And were it not for God's mercy, okay, and were it not because God sent his son, all right, for my sins, we would all be destined to an eternity without God, a.k.a. in hell. Aren't you glad God showed you mercy? Right? So the next time mom and dad says something hurtful or painful, okay, that offends you in some way, remember that God's chosen to have mercy on you. Don't excuse it. Instead, you know what? But instead of seething with anger, you know, you look at your parent with compassion. You put aside that bitterness, and you put aside that anger, and it's trying to form in your heart. And so you show them mercy. In some cases, look at the next one. In some cases, some of you might have bad parents or had bad parents. They were manipulative. They were toxic. What's my responsibility toward a parent like that? I would say at the very least that you maintain a cordial contact. I know that the cry of the heart is to have a healthy relationship with a parent. That's every child's desire, no matter how old you are. But listen, sometimes that's just not possible, especially when the other person doesn't reciprocate that need and just basically wants to use you. So what's your role as a child towards a parent that just wants to use you or manipulate you or control you? You treat them cordially. That means that if you can, you take care of their basic needs. Okay, you speak kindly to them. Here, how about this? How about modeling the unconditional love of Jesus to them? They need Jesus, don't they? If they're bad, if they're toxic, if they're you know, manipulative, all right, if they're controlling, don't they need Jesus? Yeah. So you show them Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you, in the way that you respond. And so you treat them cordially. Here's one thing that will absolutely help you if you're dealing with the pain of a parent that was hurtful to you. Pray for them. Pray for them. What is that going to do? That's going to do a couple things. Number one, you know what? Who's to say that God won't use your prayer to bring about redemption and salvation in their lives? What you could not do in your entire life, God can do in one moment when their hearts open. So you pray for them. That's one reason you pray for them. Here's the other reason why you pray for them. Because you cannot hate someone that you consistently pray for. So if you have this animosity towards mom and dad because, you know what, they didn't give me what everybody else gave me, and they were, you know, and they abused me, and they were harsh with me, and they never spoke kind words to me. Listen, as you begin to pray for them, all that anger begins to dissipate. So pray for them. And here's the last thing is share the gospel with them. Some parents that are filled with hatred and filled with this kind of vitriol in their lives, listen, they need Jesus. Just like we need Jesus, right? So you share the gospel. If you had the cure for cancer, what did you share with somebody? Wouldn't you share with somebody? Yeah, right. Of course you would. But listen, Christians, we have a cure for a disease that's much more dangerous than cancer. The disease is called sin, and sin will always translate into death, physical death, okay, and eternal death. It will always translate into that unless you get the remedy. What's the remedy? Jesus Christ. So you have the answer for something that's more dangerous than cancer. Share it with them. Maybe it's exactly what they need to hear. Maybe God will use your words to all of a sudden work in them in such a way that their lives are transformed, that their lives are changed. You know, God specializes in doing things that are impossible. And just the person that you think will never get changed. I mean, the person that you think, my mom, my dad, man, they're so hard, they'll never. Listen, and who do you think you were? You were hard, okay? You were the one that was least likely to become a Christian. And God got a hold of you, right? I mean, I was in that category. I mean, and God saved me. So God specializes in singling people out that are hardened and difficult and that you think that all society has given up on. And God's, that's the one I want. Apostle Paul, great example, right? See, Now, I say that, and I hope you don't misunderstand. I don't want to in the least minimize the pain, you know, that you feel because of a parent that wasn't just not there for you, but maybe actually did harm to you, okay? But I do want you to know this, that God knows what you feel and God cares. And maybe you never had a perfect father, but listen, our Heavenly Father is a perfect father. And maybe you had a parent that says, I don't want you in my family, that's why I'm taking off and I'm going to go sleep with, you know, someone else and whatever, because I don't want you in my family. Listen, you have a Heavenly Father that right now says, I do want you in my family. How cool is that? And that Heavenly Father is the most important one in all of humanity. We're dealing with God Himself. He extends the invitation for us to come to be a part of His family. God values family. God values unity. Okay. Before there was a church, before there was even a government, God created family. And today, God says, I want you to make sure that you remember where you came from and to respect those that have put out so much for you. Learn to honor mom and dad.